Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 12th day of January. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning, all you first responders, firemen, cops, teachers, ER staff, drivers in the Brookhaven area, right there off Claremont there in Peachtree Road. That's, well, at least that's where I hung out in Brookhaven.
All right.
I lived out Claremont there, so. Yeah, man. I hear that music. It takes me back to when I was a kid because that was the only college football we got piped in Chicago, and it was on a WCFL. Don't ask me why I remember them call letters right now. I think it was WCFL, but it was a UHF station in Chicago, and they would, on weekends, bring in Notre Dame games. So as you turn the channel, trying to find something on the other four channels, you know, I'd hear that, you know, so.
Absolutely.
Just a little throwback there. Just a little throwback here. We are waiting for our guest.
He's here.
He's here?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were waiting. Well, excuse me, Mr. Crenshaw, would you do the honors?
Of course, we're a week and a day away from the college football championship game being played here in Atlanta. It's going to be a week full of activities, especially next weekend, and we're pleased to be joined now by Ryan Allen Hall. He is the College Football Playoff Director of Events and Scholarships. That sounds like he's pretty important to me.
It does. Is that a job you want to?
It's not a bad job, Jeff. Yeah. Not a bad job.
Good morning.
Probably got his own parking spot.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing great. That'll be talking to you.
Yeah, man. We are. What kind of pride are you awash with when you look at it? When you look at your efforts and now they're on paper, meaning all the work you've put into the events that are coming up leading up to the national championship game, we have them in front of us, the 2025 schedule, and then you sit back and you think about all the people, you think about those early meetings, and now it's done. Now, obviously, you're going to make sure all these events go off well, but are you awash with pride knowing what you've achieved and getting ready for these upcoming events?
Yeah, the whole staff is. I mean, we all recognize there's a lot of people in this world with more important jobs every single day, but we also realize millions of people are excited about what we do. They are going to turn into TV to watch what we work on for 2 and 3 years in advance. And as you said, locally, what this means to the city, every volunteer, workers, just what is about to happen in the city of Atlanta over the next 10 days, we're not naive to how important this is. So, of course, we can't help but be happy and prideful about what's about to happen.
Fantastic, fantastic. College football playoff. It's the second time this event is going to be played here in Atlanta. What does that allow you to do? What has that allowed you to do, or an advantage at all, to have having had this event here just a few years back?
Well, you remember things like the traffic, and when someone says it's a 5-minute walk, and you know that's probably a 15-minute walk. It's those little things about walking from one side of the Georgia World Congress Center to the other. It's just those little things. It's like being a veteran football player, right? You see a tell, and as a rookie, it was moving fast for you. But veteran, I've seen that play before. So it just allows you to focus on the event, allows you to focus on the enhancements that the teams, the fans, the players will all enjoy a little bit more. It just allowed us to not worry about the foundation, but take it to the next level this time. So I think if anyone remembers what we did last time and then they watch this week, they're going to say, wow, these guys took it up a notch and didn't just rinse and repeat. They really brought to Atlanta the same love and care they did the first time and tried to make it better.
All right, and I'm glad you brought that up. But once again, Ryan Allen Hall joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, you're the guy, your staff are the ones who are going to bring this trophy all around the city, correct?
That's right. We're going to show that puppy off as much as we can.
Okay, so when the first meeting or the second meeting happens about where this trophy is going to go, how many places do you think of off the beaten path? In other words, traditional places here in Atlanta, but maybe not connected so much with sports, but yet part of the Atlanta fabric. Does that come up in the meetings? Because if so, I got a couple places I want to ask you about.
Of course it does. That's the thing about college football, right? It resonates through communities. This thing is generational. I mean, this thing goes back to the 1800s, right? And so that many more people, when you say college football and the teams and the pageantry, they want to be a part of this. So that's why we do so much more than just a game. We do things like fan events and concerts and trophy tours so that everyone, even those who can't get to Mercedes-Benz Stadium next week, but everyone in the whole region can be a part of this college football playoff.
See, and this is what I'm getting at. Was it ever part of the conversation? I'll name three places. The Varsity, Mary Mac's Tea Room, a Waffle House or a Krispy Kreme. Was it ever discussed to bring the trophy, obviously a group of people and security, to one of those types of locations?
I would love it if the trophy got yelled at, what do you have, right? You know, that's important. And let me tell you this. If you see me with the trophy at the Waffle House, one, it's definitely not earlier than 12 a.m., and something's probably gone right, I'll say. So I'm not going to rule it out that it makes a little Waffle House trip. But, you know, of course, where the trophy is a rock star. It is our 30th staff member, and it's more recognizable than any of us. So we love that people want to be a part of it, want to see it, want to get pictures with it. And it will absolutely make the rounds this week.
Folks, spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with Ryan Allen Hall, the College Football Playoff Director of Events and Sponsorships. Great to have him on with us. All right, tell us things that people can go to. That's the cool thing. Their concerts, their exhibits, their things that people can go to that are interactive. And they don't have to have a ticket for the game to go, right?
That's right. Yeah, I'll hit a few of them. There's so many more. But at the Georgia World Congress Center, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, we've got Playoff Fan Central. So we take over one of the whole buildings there, Building A, and we've got football games, celebrities doing signings, music, pep rallies. The trophy will be there nonstop. So that's just one of those things when you talk about as a family, especially, you know, we just had the holidays, you just got snowed in, you want to get rid of those kids for about 3 to 4 hours, bring them down to Playoff Fan Central. They're going to run around, have a great time. Just a great way to spend an afternoon or a whole day. So that's one of the events. Another one over at State Farm Arena, we've got concerts. So we did a little something for everyone. We've got Lil Wayne headlining next Saturday on the 18th, Camila Cabello on the 19th. Again, that's just one of those things when we talk about football, we want to bring an event to the city. So we've partnered with State Farm and brought some headline talent to Atlanta that's worthy of Atlanta. We know how great of a music city Atlanta is. We've got a trophy trot. So if you want to get out there, showcase your athletic ability, 5K or 10K, that'll be Sunday morning right down there by the Georgia World Congress Center and Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Again, you can pick your poison, 5K or 10K. You can actually win tickets to the game just for showing up. We'll have some random drawings, some merit drawings. So that's a way to still win tickets to the game itself. Then we've got that night. So you start off Sunday morning, running, got your calories burned off. You can put them all back on Sunday night. So we've got Taste of the Championship over the Georgia Aquarium. and that is a culinary dream. We've got about 35 of Atlanta's best chefs, best restaurants, showcasing their best dish at the Georgia Aquarium, which by itself is just a delight. So to marry those two things, then we're going to throw in a band on top of that, have a great time. All these events, if you want a little more information about it, go to collegefootballplayoff.com. You'll find the events. You can see the times, the information. But that's just a little something of what we do for the city of Atlanta, again, outside of the game itself.
I'm telling you, I want to see some pictures of them. Even if they just drive by, stop for a minute, get out the car, take a picture by a Waffle House. That'll help them exponentially. We have that trophy there. Get and then do the same thing with the varsity, and then back in the car and split during that trophy trot.
We love it.
I do want to, again, Ryan, just take care of the cynical people out there who will say this. It's just like the Stanley Cup. It's not the real one. Nah, that's not the case here, right? This is the real national championship trophy. This is not like the three or four different, you know, Lord Stanley's Cup that travels around the country.
That guy with the Stanley Cup came to town one year and he got a parking ticket, didn't he?
Because he didn't have the real one with him.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
He had a fake one
with him. You don't want to get a parking ticket with the trophy.
No, you do not. And so this is the real McCoy, right?
That's right. You know, one thing about the cynics, to deal with them, you got to be one. So they put one on staff and you're talking to them. And so we know college football fans, you can't lie to them. They're going to test you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the trophy we take around is actually a trophy the teams receive. So when you see this trophy around all week, Notre Dame or Ohio State is going to take that trophy home, and it's going to be in their case for, you know, again, the next 100, 200 years. The trophy that makes the tour is, again, we treat it like a member of the staff. There's no fakes, no decoys. It's the real McCoy. We won't let you pick it up, but if you did pick that 40-pound trophy up, you know that's the real McCoy right there.
Okay.
Ryan, talk about people that make this happen. And when I'm talking about people that make this happen, talk about volunteers. What can you say? Because a lot of people don't realize that people sign up to be volunteers for an event like this. And they're not all local. There's some people who travel from out of town to volunteer at the airport or at hotels or at the World Congress Center to greet people, whatever, to be a part of this event. Talk about the vital role of having that army of people working for this event.
Well, you're talking about the lifeblood of major events, right? Because you can't hire enough people to do this. So you've got people out of the goodness of their heart who want to show off the city that they love, and that's why we came back to Atlanta, right? The hospitality, the organization, what Dan Corso and his staff do is just top-notch. So you've got people who just want to help. And when you've got that kind of spirit in a city, it makes our job a lot easier because – you're going to have a lot of people in town who've never been here before. They just want to know how to get from A to B. And when you've got a smiling face who's willing to not only tell them, but walk them down. And, again, these are people who are not getting paid. They might get a meal. They might get a water and a shirt. But to them, this means the world. And we rely on those people. So when the city of Atlanta tells us, hey, we've got more than enough volunteers for you to help you run your events, we believe them. And then what we love about it, again, it's just the spirit, that spirit of Atlanta, of major events, the South, that we can do this. That's what's going to greet our staff. All the volunteers are going to greet the teams and the fans of the teams. And we know it's those volunteers who leave that lasting impression when the Notre Dame fans or the Ohio State fans say, wow, that was an awesome trip. They're thinking about that person in the Congress Center who helped point them the right way. They're thinking about the hotel worker who said, that's the way to the parking lot. This is how you get to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Helped them get an elevator. It's those little things that are critical to a city's success. And Atlanta, again, we know we've got people signed up on waiting lists to be a part of this because they love it, right? That's what big events do. They bring a city together. And again, with what we've kind of gone through as a country the last few years and the divisiveness sometimes, it's just good to have a nice solidifying event like a football game, bring everyone together, they put it aside, and they're going to smile and have a great time the next few days.
Fantastic. Yeah. Ryan Allen Hall, we appreciate you spending some time with us.
Absolutely.
Look forward to seeing you getting around town with that trophy and see where it shows up. But thanks for spending some time with us this
morning. Big Chicken. The Big Chicken. That's another one.
The Big Chicken.
Yeah, you got to go by the Big Chicken too, man. Listen, we'll just drive you around and drop you off. Jump out the car, take a picture, get back in it. But the Big Chicken is another stop you got to make. Am I right,
Sam? From Buckhead to Bankhead, we're going to make the rounds.
There we go. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ryan.
Morning.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Appreciate it. Yeah, okay. Now, he's got a good job.
Yeah, he does.
I'm sorry. I'd have to leave you for this job. For his job. And you'd leave me in a second to his job.
That's a nice gig. That's a really nice gig.
It is, man. Every year you're someplace else that won't his. Miles Garrett, Fox 5, is going to join us. Coming up next, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg. I was asking y'all, you know, who is this? And y'all both got silent on me. You know,
Noel reached into the bag for this.
My bad, Digital Planets, Greg.
I mean, y'all just leave me hanging out there. Say again, Noel.
Digital Planets.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure we got all that. Do we have our guest? Because I want to find out if he's enjoying this.
We have a little upright bass, man. Everybody love a little upright bass.
See, when we are like this, Sam and I, we FaceTime during these interview sessions, and he's over here acting like Ray Brown, who's an upright bass player, jazz player, and I'm just enjoying the you-know-what out of it, but sometimes I got to like, oh, you asked for this, because when you start doing the instrument, the air instruments, I know you had something with the choice.
No, I didn't have anything to do with the choice this time. This is Noel, man.
All right.
She is freestyling.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and bringing on Miles Garrett. Listen, buddy, it's been a minute since we've talked to you, and I just want to let you set the tone for, you know, the last time we talked to you, you were in New Orleans. And take a minute and describe what that feeling was like. You're there for the Georgia game, and this stuff breaks out. Where were you, and what was your next day like?
Yeah, good morning, guys, first of all. But, it was pretty crazy because we were actually out there on Bourbon Street, you know, celebrating the new year. We were there with a bunch of media members. And it was myself, Maria Martin, Bailey Burmaster, Victor Prieto, a lot of people at these TV stations here celebrating the new year. You know, we walked into the hotel probably around, 2:30, 2:45. Of course, it was a pretty late night. And then as I walked into my hotel room, I kind of heard the gunshots, thinking they were fireworks. So we were basically right there. You know, it was two blocks away from our hotel. Certainly very grateful to not be out there a little bit longer than we were. But the next day was pretty crazy. You instantly turn into news reporters, and you kind of switch that gear from sports to news, and you kind of kept to see what happens basically the rest of the day, because I went down there to check out the scene, and I get a call in my pajamas while I'm down there checking it out from my boss saying, we need you live right now, in my baseball hat. So you kind of had to do that and adjust immediately. So that's really what happened. It was pretty crazy.
So, Miles, let me just back up for a minute. The timeline. You said you left just about a half hour before this all started. You get back to your room. You're thinking you just heard fireworks, and it must have been just a few hours later, because we came on 5 o'clock that morning. We got here and we started seeing the news reports from New Orleans. Was it shortly thereafter, 5, 6 in the morning, where you got the first call from your news director?
Oh, no. I mean, it was mostly just text messages from, you know, people I knew. I didn't wake up that day till probably, if I had to guess, I'd say around 8:30 local time, so about 9:30 Eastern. I woke up and looked down. I mean, you could see it right outside your window. You know, I saw all the cop cars down there. And, you know, I basically, like I said, just kind of went down there just to see what the scene was. So I'd probably say at around 10 o'clock Eastern was when I got down there and was like looking around. And that's when I really got the call from my boss that, hey, we need you live right now.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning. And always great to be joined by Miles Garrett. And he is social. At Miles Garrett TV, A little more on Georgia. Obviously, I mean, the disappointment of what's happening with the game, and then finding out what Coach Smart was dealing with in the aftermath. In general, just your thoughts on the postscript from the whole New Orleans experience for Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, of course, obviously a disappointing end to that season, to that game for Georgia, Notre Dame, of course, is no joke. I mean, they are here to play. I think we saw that against Penn State as well, and really obviously against Georgia too. They're one of the hottest teams in the country. They've got some dudes up front in the trenches that were really able to match toe-to-toe with Georgia. But I think that was a game that Georgia really kind of shot themselves in the foot, really. I mean, you look at some of the plays that cost them, whether that was the big play called back from a penalty, that throw to Arian Smith, the sideline warning, or the kickoff return, or then you have the strip sack fumble on Gunnar Stockton towards the end of the first half with just seconds remaining. I mean, there were just a lot of plays that really Georgia kind of killed themselves. The defense really kind of kept them in it. I thought Gunnar Stockton played a really good game, all things considered. But yeah, of course, you know, there was the whole outside influence of obviously what was going on, and then, you know, Sonny Smart as well. So Kirby Smart is very good, of course. We know this, at compartmentalizing these things. Of course, I'm sure you can't imagine what he was actually going through at that time, but he's usually very good about getting his guys ready to play regardless. But yeah, no, I mean, the season's, of course, over now, so a lot of reflection and a lot of inbound changes. You know, you've already got the Branch brothers coming in. The transfer portal is very active. You know, Carson Beck now going to Miami. But, yeah, it's going to be a very different team coming in next year.
You know, it's funny. The two teams that Miles covers are both dealing with quarterback situations moving forward. We go from the Bulldogs to the Falcons. You cover them, too. And how that season, you know, how they trip and fell into that, and your outlook on what will happen next with these guys.
Yeah, the Falcons, gosh, it has been a crazy last couple of weeks for this team, right, with what we've seen from Michael Penix Jr., because I do think that is the one bright spot among a few, I think, of this team. You know, obviously the negative certainly outweighs everything based on how they finished and what the tone was on Terry Fontenot's end-of-season press conference. But, yeah, I mean, I do think you have something now in Michael Penix Jr. for the first time in really 4 years. There's no question marks, I think, right now on the quarterback position. Of course, you know, there is the chance that he could go out next year and, you know, all that progress is lost. But I do think in the three games you saw from Michael Penix Jr., he kind of showed you, yes, you know, he does have what it takes to be that franchise quarterback for the next few years, because there were a lot of flashes. So from the starting perspective, yes, it looks like you're all settled. Now, will the backup quarterback situation really be Kirk Cousins, as Terry Fontenot is telling us? I don't know. It's going to be tough to have, you know, $130 million, whatever, how much that contract is, just sitting on the bench and not playing, as Terry Fontenot seemed to suggest. I'm assuming that's basically, you know, code for saying he's ours until he isn't. You know, like it might be the Russell Wilson scenario last year where, you know, Denver is basically paying his contract while he signs a vet minimum somewhere else like Pittsburgh. So I'm assuming that's what's going to happen with Kirk Cousins. I just can't imagine having that much money just sitting on your bench. But yeah, I mean, obviously a very disappointing end of this season after all the money they invested specifically at that position to only win one more game.
Miles, thoughts about what he may mean for the rest of the offense? We saw him connect a great deal with Drake London. Of course, people want to see him connect some with the tight end. Could that be something that really, you know, energizes Kyle Pitts? The idea of having, you know, a change at quarterback, could that do it for him? What is it that's going to make the light bulb go on for this guy?
I mean, that's the million-dollar question, right? I mean, Terry Fontenot was even asked that at that end-of-season press conference, talking specifically about Kyle Pitts, and I did kind of appreciate his candidness on it. His response to it was, look, Kyle hasn't, you know, matched or exceeded his production from his rookie year, and he needs to get better, which is the truth. I mean, we've every year we almost kind of wait for Kyle Pitts to make a move and get better and turn that corner, you know, whether that was Kirk Cousins or now, you know, Michael Penix Jr. And of course there have been flashes. You know, you see that game winning catch against Washington, you know, that's probably the biggest catch of his entire Falcons career. So you would think that, especially with the chemistry, like you said, that you saw with Drake London here late in the season, that could translate to a guy like Kyle Pitts. But it's just been such a big question mark for the last few seasons, because you don't know what you're going to get. Like even with Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heinicke, and Kirk Cousins, you know, you still saw production from Drake London. So the reason why you can't get that out of Kyle Pitts seems to still be kind of questionable, because they are kind of those same guys, you know, big playmakers on offense who are built to win one-on-one matchups. You know, I really love that Michael Penix Jr. just threw it up to Drake London on two plays there in the end zone. One goes out of bounds even after Drake catches it, so he goes right back to him and he catches it for the touchdown. I really love that trust there between the quarterback and the wide receiver, that relationship there. So I would hope to see that from Kyle Pitts, but fans, coaches, and now it seems like executives both agree that, you know, look, this guy's got to increase his own production.
From Fox 5, Miles Garrett, you can tell he follows the Falcons from soup to nuts all year long. And listen, we haven't heard your thoughts on the first guys given pink slips after this season. Your thoughts on Jimmy Lake, defensive coordinator, and Jay Rogers, defensive line coach, exiting out stage door left.
Yeah, no, I do think that one was kind of the writing on the wall, right? I mean, at the end of the last game, you know, they asked Raheem Morris about what happened, and he says, look, the defense didn't play to the standard. I think that quote in and of itself really kind of, you know, may have painted the picture, because that was a big question mark for this team. I mean, the offense were, or was rather, top 10 in almost every single statistical category, and you have that kind of influence of the quarterback position being up in the air for 4 weeks there with Kirk Cousins playing the way he was. So I think it was a situation that probably needed to happen. I'm not surprised that it happened. But now I think the big question is, who do you hire to replace him? That's going to be a really big hire for Raheem Morris, because look, Raheem Morris is a defensive minded guy. He supposedly took over bigger duties there in the final stretch of the season when they were able to get some more pressures on the quarterback, but it just all seemingly fell apart in that last game against Carolina. So there are some names out there to watch. Jeff Ulbrich, I tweeted out yesterday, probably a guy to look for. He's the guy Raheem Morris hired to be his full-time defensive coordinator when he was the interim head coach in Atlanta. Of course, he was the defensive coordinator in New York and the interim head coach when Robert Saleh got fired. But I do think a guy like Robert Saleh, honestly, would be a better hire just because of his pedigree, what he was able to do in San Francisco. A guy like Steve Wilks was at Falcons training camp quite a bit. So there are some names out there, but those are ones I certainly would watch going forward.
Right. Okay.
Make it a quick. We're up against it, Miles, but Sam's got one last question for you.
Up against it, but before we go, what's priority now in free agency and the draft?
Quarterback pressure, quarterback pressure, quarterback pressure. Draft defense, please. I think that's the priority.
All right. There you go. You got the quick answer.
As long as
we're getting quick answers, let's go back to college again. Who's your pick for the 20th for the national championship?
Well, it's tough. There might be a little bit of bias here. I used to live in South Bend for 2 years covering the Irish, so I might have to go with the team of destiny here. But Ohio State looks really darn good. So if that bias wasn't there, I'd probably choose the Buckeyes.
Everybody is doing the same. If you ask them about their head, they're going Ohio State. You going with your heart, they're going Notre Dame. All right, who do you see coming out with the NFL playoffs?
Well, my dream matchup here would be a Lions-Bills Super Bowl, just because I think those are the two most lovable teams in the NFL right now. But, I mean, I don't see why not, right? I mean, the Lions have been the best team in the NFL. I don't think it's been a question this year. And I don't know, it just seems to be Josh Allen's type of year, where he's kind of finally getting that monkey off his back when it comes to beating Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and all that kind of stuff. Lamar Jackson certainly is no joke. Of course, we saw what he did last night, but if I had to pick right now, I'd say a Bills-Lions Super Bowl.
All right, Miles. Listen, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thank you, as always, for getting up and joining us, buddy.
Thanks a lot,
Miles. Absolutely, fellas. Y'all have a great day.
There you go. Miles Garrett, Fox 5. We are going to wrap things up. Hey, going to turn things over to BetQL coming up top of the hour, and that's before John Fricke will join us. Anyway, Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, take us with you in the Odyssey app. Did you have one of them shirts, T-shirts when you was a kid with that phrase on it?
Nah.
Keep on with the dude with the big foot gun in front of him?
I remember
that
those.
Big step?
Yeah. No, I didn't have one of those. I remember those, though.
Anyway, it is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. Thank you again for letting us be a part of your weekend mornings. Listen, we should tell everybody, we're just a few weeks away from getting our Saturdays back.
It's coming up.
Yep, we got just about a couple weeks left here, and then we will be back on Saturdays and Sunday mornings. So just a little bit of patience. You know, that's nice there. Something else going to add. Oh, I was going to tell you, I looked out the window. Sun's up here. I always give you the weather report a little bit, what's going on out here, and it's usually about 20 minutes away from where it hits you. But the streets are completely, completely dry out here. And I'm not talking about a street that was you know, paved or snowplowed. It was it just, you know, folks just driving over it. And I looked out the window there and it's dry. So I'm just feeling good about that. It's still cold as you know what out there. I'm registering in this computer, says it's about 23 degrees outside. Let me check something official. You got the sun out there where you are?
Yeah, I'm getting like 27 over here.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm south of I-20. No, I'm just north of I-20. I'm near I-20. So maybe that's the reason why. Anyway, I know that this last segment, we like to, you know, go over a number of things, but there's always stuff that you have that you wanted to mention that you wanted to get in before we go. And I didn't want you rushing. So if there was something, you know, that you had little notes of somebody you wanted to give a shout out to.
I haven't thought of anything at all. I mean, this week is coming up. And like I said, the national championship game is going to be here in town. And we appreciate our guests coming on. Ryan Allen Hall coming on and Tamika Smith-Jones sharing us events that people can attend and go to. Even if you don't have a ticket for the game, if you don't have a dog in the fight, if you will, and still this event is coming to town, and it offers a lot of opportunities for us to be entertained and, you know, be it concert or be it something you want to go and have some great food at the, you know, an aquarium, or if you want to go up to Kennesaw State, do some fact finding about NIL, since a lot of people talk about it, a lot of people vilify it, say it's ruining all college athletics. But, you know, go and do some fact finding about what's really happening, not just a handful of football players that are getting crazy money, but just find out the good things it's doing for some athletes in some sports you may not notice. People actually using name, image, and likeness to, as I like to say, the correct way. So, I mean, that's an opportunity to find that out this week, because NIL is something, and the transfer portal is something that really kind of hangs over this entire week, because in order to get here, you have to deal with it. You have to deal in both for your team to make it to this point, or to make it into the 12-team playoff period.
Right.
You know, everybody is involved in that and has made a solid commitment to it in various ways. I mean, Clemson made it in. They don't do as much transfer portal, but you best believe they got some NIL popping up there, you know, up in Clemson, South Carolina. So,
well, I thought he wasn't going to deal with that, right?
He's doing NIL now. No. He ain't doing transfer portal.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, that was old school.
He
ain't that old school, right?
He ain't that old school.
Again, Sam and Greg, also want to thank Caleb Johnson joined us this morning talking Hawks and the NBA. Miles, you just heard him a minute ago talking Falcons. Also, and I don't know how she feels about this, but Karen Pestana.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw that written down. I was like, I want to mention to her, and she said she hadn't been called that in a while, but what she didn't say is whether she liked it or not.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not going to say it again to
her. Yeah, I don't know. I think she said I kind of outgrew that.
Yeah, exactly.
Or whatnot. But, I mean, Australian Open is underway. Like I mentioned, Sloane Stephens is out in the first round. Coming up later today, the second round, you're going to see a lot more of our American players on display. Coco Gauff will be in action. Taylor Fritz will be in action on the men's side. And then if you stay up until around 3 o'clock in the morning, our time, of course, that's prime time over there. You know, Novak Djokovic will play at 3 o'clock, and on another stadium court at the same time, Nick Kyrgios will be playing. So, I mean, you got a lot of people that be playing. This is the time where I don't get a lot of sleep because the tennis goes on all night.
I'm going to get plenty of sleep. Staying up for that dude.
Nah, man. The tennis is happening all night here the next couple of weeks. And tomorrow, Ben Shelton, Atlanta native, will be in action.
Now, that'd be different. I'd stay up for him. But not staying up for Joe. Listen, also, we discovered right at the top of the 9 o'clock hour, the guy who's got one of the top 5 jobs in this country, Ryan Allen Hall, who travels around and puts together these glorious events leading up to the national championship, which means he is in a different city every year doing this. And I ask you again, if somebody said, Sam, you got 2 days with the trophy, I mentioned a couple places. Are you taking it to those places, or where else would you be taking the national championship trophy to get his picture taken that would represent Atlanta?
Wow. You mean maybe take it up on top of Stone Mountain.
Okay. That's a good
maybe
one.
Maybe take it up to Stone Mountain and take a picture up there. So there are a lot of places that would, you know, that are uniquely Atlanta places that you want to take it.
I mentioned, if you weren't listening earlier, I mentioned the Varsity.
And the Big Chicken.
I mentioned the Big Chicken, the Varsity, Mary Mac's Tea Room. Any one of the – I take it to the Shack Krispy Kreme, right there by Nancy's.
Yeah.
You got to take it there. Now, you got to have it at one of the barbershops in this city. So you know the one we're going to choose.
Yeah.
You got to have it sitting in the chair there with KB and Maurice at Off the Hook. But I'm sure you have your favorite place. But there's got to be a place I'm missing that, like you said, top of Stone Mountain.
You know what? You could take it. You know what? Take it to Zoo Atlanta and pose right next to Willie B.
Oh, well, see, there you go. That's why I'm hanging around with you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Not to Claremont Lodge, though, right?
No, we ain't going down there. Okay. We're not going to take it down there. You know, that's an odd place, man. speaking of that, the new Chick-fil-A, which is where Dugan's was, right? There's a new Chick-fil-A where Dugan's was on Ponce.
Really?
And it's in between a tattoo parlor and a Claremont Lounge. But that's where the new Chick-fil-A is on Ponce.
I'll tell you another place you could take it. You just remind me of a place when you talk about places in Atlanta. And it wouldn't be a place that you would think of originally. So I would take it to Maynard Jackson's grave at Oakland Cemetery.
Do that? Would you take it to the home of the lemon pepper wings?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, get it a dance.
Y'all missing one?
Okay, well, hang on a second, because I was thinking, my mind started going a couple places, but go ahead, Noelle.
You're not going to take it to the Carter Center?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You take it there?
Yep.
And to the airport, obviously. But, I mean, I guess it flies into town.
It's going to come into town.
How to get it here.
But it's got to make the rounds. But when we were talking about the down there on Ponce, there was another place I was thinking of that's down there.
Another place on Ponce?
Well, no, not on Ponce, but it just got me thinking about it. Oh, I tell you, it'd be tough to get it up there, but a picture with it next to the cauldron, the Olympic cauldron.
Olympic cauldron?
Yep.
Or Fernbank. You know, okay. Fernbank, that one's a big, what's the big the raptor, whatever the big dinosaur bones they got in there, to pose it next to that.
Anyway, we would do it justice. I don't know if Ryan's got time for all of that, but just get out for a minute, take a picture, pew, back in the car.
Yeah.
Listen, today's matchups, we got Denver at Buffalo first. By the way, that game is going to be on Paramount Plus. Okay. And Noel, forgive me, I don't have the sheet in front of me of the games that we are going to be broadcasting live. I would imagine that we're going to have all of these, so just check in at 929thegame.com to hear these games in case you can't get in front of a TV. But I think we are all on the same side here that Denver's going to have a hard time beating Buffalo at home.
I think so, too. But you know what? They've gone out there and they found them a quarterback in Denver. They found an important building block for the future. And it's going to be on display today. But Buffalo, you should have things their way.
Love is a little nicked up, but he has taken his Green Bay Packers to Philadelphia. That's another matchup. The home team looks like it's going to prevail.
They saved up Saquon for today. He didn't play last week. They wanted him 100% for today. So let's see what happens. We go out there and turn that guy loose.
And as much as we would like to have seen, you know, two young quarterbacks, because I don't call Jaden Daniels a rookie anymore, but were the Falcons to prevail and get into the playoffs, that would have been a game tonight. But Washington versus Tampa Bay, I don't know. I absolutely believe this is one of those, because Baker Mayfield has looked so good these last few weeks. This is when Baker Mayfield, the other Baker Mayfield, shows up.
Absolutely.
So I don't know where to put my money on this one.
He shows up and spoils the party. That's kind of what he does.
Yep. Right? Yep. And so I really, really don't know who to pick in this one. And then you got a neutral site game tomorrow night with Minnesota at taking on the Rams, but they're going to be playing this game at the Arizona Cardinals location in Arizona.
Yeah,
so,
that's what's coming up as far as the playoffs. It's going to be interesting games.
I asked you this a couple days ago as we continue Sox Sports here, and we're going to wrap things up in just a minute. Is Georgia still undefeated at home as far as basketball?
Yep.
Wow. Why aren't we talking about that more?
You didn't listen to me earlier. I said, can we get these guys a national ranking? I asked the question at 14-2, can we get them a national ranking? They beat Oklahoma yesterday. They beat Kentucky last week or in the week. And they have another test coming up this week. They will go up to Knoxville to take on Tennessee. And people forget about the SEC. Everybody's bemoaning the fact that there's no one from the SEC in this championship game for football. The March Madness could be very much dominated by the Southeastern Conference because the strongest league right now by far is the SEC. And Georgia can't even get a ranking because of all the other teams in the conference that are ranked. You know, so that's the thing. You got to make some room for them. But this team doesn't. They rearranged the seating arrangement. They rearranged the seating in Stegman. They had the students sitting way up top, and they brought them down closer to the floor. And it has made a difference. It has turned that place into a real home court advantage for Georgia. And I know the difference from that. Having worked in North Carolina at the Dean Dome, they would have the students way up top and the hoity-toity alums sitting there with their legs crossed, having their gray poupon or whatever. You know, that's Dean Stiffson. But at Georgia, get those students down there, bring an atmosphere, get it rowdy, and it has worked very well, and it's become a place nobody wants to come and play right now. Athens is a place nobody wants to come to play basketball, and it's been years since they've had that. I dare say it goes back to the time of Tubby Smith, since Georgia has had that kind of basketball excitement for basketball right now, and they got it right now.
I mean, I was just going to ask you, what is it with this team? But listen, let's make a point of moving forward when we start doing these shows to talk more, give these guys some more love.
Go do it.
What's going on? Any last words from Noelle? If she's not too busy, you want to jump in here? I want to thank you for everything you did today, but I know you've had sparks coming off your knuckles doing what you do behind the board out there. So I don't know if she had one little last thing she wanted to get out there.
Just two things.
Yes. Hey, two things.
There we go.
One, Coach Raheem Morris is already on the scouting track. He was at the Penn State game. He looked like he was trying to get in Penn State's locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Probably to talk to somebody's defensive players. So
all right now.
Watch out for that. And two, I have a new official theme song for the Falcons on this show next season. So you will be hearing a lot of Dolly Parton, 9 to 5.
All right.
I'll let y'all figure out why.
Yeah. Look at her.
Noelle, you have a wonderful week. She was put upon by the storm, like a lot of folks these last few days. And so, in talking to her, she went through some stuff. So we're glad she made it in here this morning. But get home, get some sleep as soon as you can. Mr. Crenshaw, you enjoy your day.
Stay warm.
All right. We got BetQL coming up next. And then our own John Fricke will follow that. For the rest of you, thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you in the Odyssey app.